From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The infamous Koch brothers funded a study of Medicare for All through the Mercatus Center at George Mason University in Virginia. Unsurprisingly, the report estimates the cost of insuring all Americans through the government would be $32.5 trillion. Media outlets uncritically reported on this finding, but Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who has championed Medicare for All, slammed the report, saying, "If every major country on earth can guarantee health care to all and achieve better health outcomes while spending substantially less per capita than we do, it is absurd for anyone to suggest that the United States cannot do the same." He added this grossly misleading and biased report is the Koch brothers' response to the growing support in our country for a Medicare for All program. Buried in the report was the incredible conclusion that government funding of healthcare would cover 30 million more Americans, dramatically reduce out-of-pocket costs for healthcare, and actually save $2 trillion. We turn to Paul Song, a board-certified radiation oncologist, co-chair of the Campaign for Healthy California. He's on the board of Physicians for National Health Program and People for the American Way, and he's also our healthcare correspondent. Welcome back to the program, Paul.
Always great to be back.
The timing of this report is quite interesting. It seems as though the more popular Medicare for All becomes in the public, the closer we get to the midterm elections, the more politicians are panicking about this idea that people should be able to expect the government to cover their health care. What are your impressions of this report? Do you agree with Sanders that it's grossly misleading?
It's grossly misleading in this fact that it has some assumptions that have now been further analyzed by some real policy experts. But what it was meant to discredit the Bernie Sanders Medicare for All proposal, but what it's done is it's further emboldened it even with the worst case scenarios. Yesterday, as many people know, there was an article that came out by Dr. Himmelstein and Woolhandler, who founded Physicians for National Health Program and are professors in New York City. They did a careful analysis of this study, and they found that actually, in addition to its original conclusion of saving $2 trillion while insuring 30 million people, it would actually save $10 trillion over 10 years because there were some assumptions that were incorrect. So all of this is really backfiring on anyone who has tried to distance themselves from any potential Medicare for All proposal. During the 2016 campaign, the Urban Institute at that time was employed by moderate Democrats to discredit single payer, and they found that, again, the Sanders plan would save money compared to what we spend as a nation. So I think that despite everyone's attempts, the facts cannot be discounted that a Medicare for All single-payer plan would save money while insuring everyone in the United States.
It feels as though we've actually made a lot of progress in the way we think about Medicare for All. I remember in 2008, 2009, when Obamacare was being implemented, and even in those weeks when healthcare reform was being debated, the idea that the government would cover everybody was dismissed out of hand as a socialist idea. Now it seems as though the argument is, well, even if the government should cover everybody, it's just going to be way too expensive. To me, that's progress.
Absolutely. And I think part of it is that a lot of people don't understand how bad the healthcare system is until they or someone in their family has to actually utilize it. And what we've found over the last 5 to 10 years since the Affordable Care Act has been in place is, while it's done some good, is there's still far too many people that are harmed by the current system. For the first time ever, there was a poll done by the University of Chicago that found more people are now more afraid of healthcare costs than they are of actually getting sick, which says something about how health insurance is not really doing what it was intended to do. 44% of people, because their copays and deductibles are too high, are delaying seeking care. And so I think on a day-to-day basis, people realize that everything they've been told about our healthcare system being the world's best is simply not true. Everything that they've been told about a private insurance system is not true. As they talk to family members who have Medicare, while it is not perfect, it is still far better than what they have, and they all aspire to have something better, and Medicare for all is that solution.
And another sort of especially right-wing argument against Medicare for all is you don't want the government getting in the way of your healthcare or standing between you and your doctor, except, of course, anybody who's ever used their health insurance knows that their insurance company routinely gets in the way of their healthcare and between doctor and patient. Now, there was a really interesting Fox and Friends online survey. I don't know how scientific it was, but Fox and Friends attempted to discredit Medicare for All in the wake of this Koch-funded study and put out a survey to presumably its base asking if the cost of $32.6 trillion over 10 years of a Medicare for All system would be worth it. Would the benefits outweigh the costs? Nearly 70% of respondents said yes. It's between 60 and 70% said yes, that the benefits of government healthcare would outweigh the costs, even if it costs $32.6 trillion over 10 years. That was pretty awesome.
And it's very consistent. There was a recent health tracking poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation leading up to the upcoming midterms. And it found 75% of all voters felt that single payer Medicare for all in some way or shape or form was a major issue in the upcoming election. And they were all very much in favor of it. So, despite the attempts of both the media, as well as I would say the corporate wing of the Democratic Party to discount Medicare for all, people are realizing that this is really the solution for our nation's healthcare woes.
When the media did report on this study, all we saw in the headlines were $32.6 trillion Medicare for all would cost this huge amount. Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting analyzed the media coverage, but I'm wondering if you feel like the Mercatus Center report that's funded by the Koch brothers was essentially intended to skew the debate by relying on journalists to uncritically report the bottom line of the report, which is way too expensive.
Well, I think we've seen that with also the single-payer attempts here in California is people like to throw out the price tag, but they don't realize that we're already spending that much, if not more, as a nation. So what the Mercatus report pointed out was it's $32.6 billion. But what they found is that if we don't institute the Sanders Medicare for All plan, that we're going to actually spend more over the same period of time. Yet the media didn't report that without this plan, we're going to spend X amount dollars more. And I think that was really irresponsible of the media to not complete the whole facts about that.
There's always money for warfare and never enough for things like Medicare for All, right? So Congress just passed a massive defense spending bill that had plenty of Democratic support to the tune of $700 billion. No one ever questions, or very few people ever question, the costs of military, what the U.S. military costs us versus what the benefits are of that. They just blindly fund warfare and militarism.
Absolutely. And what people don't realize is that the benefits that we have on a single-payer plan go beyond just saving the federal government money. It'll free up money for our local cities, our school districts, individual households on money that they are paying out of their own pockets to cover their healthcare costs. If you take cities that are now being crippled by healthcare costs, they have to figure out, can I do capital improvements in my city? Can I pay for more firefighters and police officers? Or do I have to put more money towards healthcare costs? Same thing with people when they get sick. Sadly, people who have insurance, the number of people reporting having to borrow money from family and friends or foregoing rent or paying for food has greatly increased even after the Affordable Care Act has been implemented. So this is something that saves money not only for our federal government, but also for every single person. This is real trickle-down benefits.
How critical is it for Medicare for All to become an election issue as we are just a few months away from the midterm elections?
I think what's happened is Medicare for All has been elevated into a defining stance for people that are running. Here in California, several of the candidates who made it to the top two, particularly in Orange County, ran as Medicare for All candidates. And what we've seen is a growing acceptance of Medicare for All, not only among people running for office, but among elected officials. For the very first time, we have a Medicare for All caucus in the Congress, composing of 72 members. We have 123 members who have signed on to H.R. 676, which is the Democratic, originally John Conyers' Medicare for All bill in the House. And we have one-third of Democratic senators who have signed on to Senator Bernie Sanders' bill. So I think there is a sea change going on, that people no longer view this as a liability when they run, but they actually are running. They feel emboldened to run as a candidate that is proposing to make this a reality. And that says something about what's happening in our populace, that a majority of people for the last several years consistently supported a Medicare for All proposal.
There was an interesting piece by The Intercept that just came out August 2nd showing that healthcare lobbyists have managed to essentially get Democrats who are running for office to agree to oppose Medicare for All. Of course, the health insurance company is terrified of Medicare for All, because essentially, if the Medicare system were expanded to cover the entire population, there wouldn't be much business left for the insurance markets, right?
Absolutely. And again, this gets back to what I have said for a long time, that in the long run, it's not Republicans that are going to block Medicare for All. We know what they stand for. They publicly say that they're opposed. It's Democrats who claim to be in favor of single payer in principle, but then turn around and do everything to undermine it ever making it past committees, making it actually into law. So I think that for those who are watching your program right now, we need to really not only make this a litmus test, but to make sure that we elect real Democrats who will fight and champion Medicare for All, rather than just saying they're for it in principle.
Let's turn back to California that you mentioned, which has the potential of leading a state's revolution on healthcare and actually pass a state-level Medicare for All bill. Why has California not yet done so, given that Democrats are in the majority in our state legislative bodies and control the governorship? This should have been a done deal in California by now.
Well, again, getting back to the whole concept of corporate Democrats, we do have a block of moderate Democrats who are very business friendly, in the sense that they're very cozy with the private insurance industry and health insurance industry, specifically also the pharmaceutical industry, and will do everything they can to make sure this never comes up for a vote. And also, I think, again, they would like to gently brush this under the rug. Unfortunately, Senate Bill 562 was put into suspension by the Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon. But I will say that there was no legislative champion that tried to fight to bring it out of exile and put it back to make it a better bill. And that really reflected what I've been saying all along, that we do have some real Democrats who really want to make this happen, and we have others that want to do everything they can to make sure that this never gets signed into law, or let alone ends up on the governor's desk.
Paul, when we've had you on our program in the past, we've often looked at the ways in which the Trump administration and the Republican Party in general have been eroding what's left of the Affordable Care Act. Now, the Affordable Care Act was a far cry from Medicare for All, but it did improve our health care system in several significant ways. Where is the Republican effort currently to destroy Obamacare and set back the modest progress that had been made on healthcare reform?
Well, the first thing that they've done is decrease the amount of premium support. So what happened was, for the first several years of the Affordable Care Act, insurers, because of the uncertainty of not knowing how many people would actually sign up, or what the risk pool would be. We're guaranteed a certain amount of money by the federal government to make up any offsets. And as a result, that was able to keep premiums relatively low. So the first thing that has happened is they've done away with that funding. The second thing that's happening is you've got 20 plus attorney generals from red states that have filed a lawsuit trying to do away with provisions to prevent discrimination against pre-existing conditions. And then the other thing that I've been told is that while everyone is distracted with everything that is going on with this president in Russia, that there is another attempt to further undermine the Affordable Care Act to yet again come up with some sort of repeal process. The problem is that most experts, including Republicans, have realized that it's basically impossible to repeal this now. But they can do everything to weaken it. One of the things Republicans have done have allowed for the sale of these flimsy, what we call like 30-day insurance plans.
Skinny plans, I believe they're also referred to.
Fortunately, here in California, the insurance commissioner, as well as the state legislation, has prohibited the sale of those plans here in California. But in other states, they're very much available. So they're really nibbling around the edges. And what's happening is the Affordable Care Act is getting weakened by 1,000 little cuts rather than some major acts taken to the whole program.
And these skinny plans basically cost less because they cover very little, right?
They really are not worth the paper that they're printed on.
Right. So it's essentially you're paying health insurance companies for no reason. When it comes time to actually use the plans, you will likely not have coverage or very much coverage anyway. Now, the heading into the midterms, are you seeing enough Democrats that are running on this issue of Medicare for all, you know, if they're past the primary by now and are heading to the midterm elections to face a Republican, one might imagine that a platform of Medicare for all might be what makes the difference between being elected and not elected. Everybody needs healthcare, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and especially the less rich you are, the more you need government-funded healthcare.
Absolutely. I think particularly in several of the seats in Orange County against Dana Rohrabacher, Mimi Waters, and for Daryl Issa's former seat, you have Democratic candidates who have run unabashedly as single-payer Medicare for all candidates. You also have, I think, people throughout the country that are doing that. And I think that, again, says something to the pulse that they've felt. And I think it's important for your listeners to do everything they can to support these candidates so that they don't run away from this in the future. The other thing I would say is that, if people have been paying attention, the recent comments by President Trump and Rudy Giuliani saying that, the midterms will decide whether or not the president is going to get impeached or not, is really designed to turn out his base. So for those people that are just automatically assuming there's going to be a blue wave and not take the time to show up to vote, to organize, to mobilize other voters, I think they would be greatly mistaken to do so. And that, again, plays into the fact that we need to organize to support these Medicare for All candidates.
Right. It's absolutely critical, of course, for people to turn out to vote. The election of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the New York primary, where she beat a top Democrat, has been hailed by many as proof that you can win on these sorts of strongly progressive issues. And her and Bernie Sanders have emerged as these leaders, really interesting sort of demographic opposites, if you think about it, united on this issue of Medicare for All as one of several progressive issues, and the formation of the Medicare for All caucus in Congress is also a really interesting development. Interestingly enough, I don't know, Paul, if you saw this, but former President Obama came out with his list of endorsements for the midterm elections, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who doesn't need his endorsement because she's facing an easy-to-beat Republican, was not on the list. Do you feel that these, you know, I mean, Obama has nothing to lose now. His signature policy, his signature plan is, as you said, being killed by a thousand cuts. Why would he not support Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
I think that I cannot speak specifically for President Obama, but I went through the list of the people that he did support, and the majority of those were people that had worked at some capacity in his campaign or his administration in the past. But if you look, very few of them were super progressives. They were more of the centrist, Democrats that, you know, that President Obama himself was, so, and is. And I think that he probably had a closer relationship with Crowley in the past, and maybe that was his decision. But I really can't speak for the president. I think what's important for people to recognize is that there is a real internal struggle going on within the Democratic Party between people who are progressive, who think that those are winning issues, and people who believe we need to come back to the center and really try to focus on building up that aspect. And it's really fascinating, but I think that the facts are showing that the people are really embracing more of the democratic socialist message now more than ever, just like Medicare for All. And so people need to step up and support these types of candidates rather than just shy away.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll have you back on, I'm sure, in the future.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Song is a board-certified radiation oncologist, co-chair of the Campaign for Healthy California. He's on the board of Physicians for National Health Program and People for the American Way, and he's our healthcare correspondent. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.